Nick DiGilio here. It's the Nick DiGilio Show, continuing here on 720 WGN live in the Skyline Studio. Tom Hush is my producer. We're with you till 4 a.m. And at 4 a.m., our friends over at Bradley Place, over at the WGN TV Channel 9 Early Morning News, will join us from 4 to 5. And then at 5 o'clock, Bob Surratt has your morning drive right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, died at 75 years old. He was a WWE legend, a wrestling legend. So we're going to talk about some of the best wrestlers of all time and wrestling in general. And also, Ben & Jerry's has released a new flavor called Netflix and Chilled. We'll talk about that. And then favorite movie snacks and favorite candy, best movie candy of all time. We have a Blackhawks Express to play back from last night's game. Another win for the Hawks. They looked great last night. And so we'll do that. And right now, we would like to welcome to the show an author, an expert in transcendental meditation. She has written a book called Enlightenment is Sexy. And it's all about transcendental meditation. She also has written a piece about the gift of near-death experiences. And we want to welcome her to the show. Her name is Valerie Genghis, and we welcome Valerie to the show. Valerie, welcome.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
Good.
Absolutely. So tell me how you got into transcendental meditation and your background.
So I grew up in Chicago, mm-hmm. lived there pretty much my whole life. And what happened was in 2011... my mom passed away. She had been fighting breast cancer for almost 14 years, so lots of ups and downs.
Yeah.
And then eventually she passed away, and it was like all the stress that I had been carrying all those years, it just hit me like a hurricane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went down. I became suicidal. I couldn't work. I was didn't want to leave my apartment. It was a total disaster. And, of course, I went to a therapist. I actually suggested that he put me in a hospital, but he didn't. I just was seeing him multiple times a week. And then someone suggested that I learn to meditate, specifically transcendental meditation. And I had never heard about it. I knew nothing about it. I vaguely remember the Beatles going to India and learning to meditate. I mean, that was really the only thing that I had in my mind about this type of meditation. And basically, in one meditation, I went from being suicidal to taking this deep dive into my soul. And when I opened my eyes, it was like a brand new world.
Wow.
I had absolutely been pulled out of like this hell that I was living in.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I know, you know, people have talked about this before. Caring for a sick parent is an unbelievably stressful thing. So where did you go to discover transcendental meditation? Someone suggested that you do it. So where did this happen, and who was it that you discovered?
Okay, so with TM, that's what they call it for short.
Okay.
You're taught by a teacher, a transcendental meditation teacher. And at the time, the Chicago teacher was in Hyde Park, like right off of Lakeshore Drive. So that's where I went to the office. And in 4 days, it's about an hour a day, an hour to 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're taught how to meditate. But really, day one, like right out of the gate, you know how to meditate. And now I think the office is at 1 East Erie.
Okay. And so what exactly is transcendental meditation? If you can kind of describe it, if it's a specific form, correct? Okay.
Yeah, it's a mantra-based meditation. So you're given a sound. It has no meaning to you. And you basically use that sound as a tool that allows you to settle down inside and quiet your mind. And it works. And it's really easy. You know, I mean, now I've come across hundreds and hundreds of people that have learned to meditate. And it's always the same conversation before they learn. There's no way I can meditate. I've tried other things. I've tried apps, and I can't meditate. I can't stop my thoughts. And A, they always find that they can meditate after they learn this. And B, there is no stopping thoughts. I mean, thoughts when you're meditating are pretty meaningless. It's just your body releasing stress. So you can have thoughts, and it's like, who cares?
Mm.
There's no rules in this. It's just you're just trying to quiet your nervous system and your mind down, but, you know, it shouldn't be like a war that you're having internally.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm one of those people, Valerie, that's like, I don't think I'd be able to meditate, because I'm one of those people who, when I try to go to sleep, it takes me at least 90 minutes. Every time I get in the bed, it takes me at least 90 minutes to fall asleep, because my brain won't stop and I keep thinking about things over and over and over and over again. And I would imagine that you would say that TM would help me in some regard with that.
I mean, absolutely. And what you just described, I think, is pretty normal. I think most people, you know, are constantly having thoughts and like going over ideas and experiences in their head. And this is just a tool to help you reel it in, you know, just slow down. And when you get that sense of peace inside of you and your nervous system is more calm and your thoughts aren't racing like they used to be, you have a new perspective on life, and things just start going smoother for you. It really, it's fascinating how it all works. When you do this type of practice and you turn inward, everything that's happening outside, like, becomes cooler.
Mm. Oh, okay. So
at least that was my experience, right out of the gate.
So when you had this sort of life-changing experience after that, when did you pursue it as something that you wanted to teach people, that you wanted to become part of? How did that happen for you with that transition? Did you know it right away that this was something you wanted to pursue and help other people?
No. First of all, I was in the bar and restaurant business. My dad's Greek,
God,
so of course we owned restaurants.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I did my whole life. And as soon as I started feeling better, I was like, hey, I'm going to open a bar. Like, that's what I know. That's what I do. And my TM teacher was like, you know what? I think she had seen this before, this, like, massive transformation in people. And she was like, why don't you slow your roll and give it some time? I think you're going to end up going in a different direction.
Mm.
And she was right. She, at the time, was about to start working at Harpo Studios, because Oprah and her entire staff in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, she was offering TM to everybody in the company. And so they asked me to come work with them at Harpo. And, like, they're at Loyola Medical School and a bunch of different corporations in the city. And I flat out was like, no, I don't want to do that. Mm. I don't know anything about this. And through a series of fascinating events, I was led to believe, like, no, this is the right path for me. So I said yes to the job. And next thing I knew, I was, you know, talking to Oprah about her meditation practice and started talking to people before and after they learned to meditate. I did not become a TM teacher. I didn't want to take that route. I was just there to talk to people about what this experience was going to be like.
Right.
And just give them support after they learn to meditate, because people tend to have a lot of changes in their life.
Valerie Genghis is here, by the way, if you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. This is Valerie Genghis. She's an expert in transcendental meditation and an author. And if you want to jump in, if you've had experience in this, or if you want to talk or text to us, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So, Valerie, you mentioned there's a series of extraordinary events that happened that led you to actually accept the thing at Harpo. What were those things?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so now, remember, I was suicidal weeks before what I'm about to tell you is happening. So I come out of this, learning this meditation practice, everything is different to me. Like, sound is different to me. Like, colors are different. Everything is different. I feel reborn. And so I started being social again, like, immediately. And my brother's friend, who I had not seen in, I don't know, 15, 20 years, he had come into town, and he knew my mom had passed away, so he got a hold of me, and he invited me to the Metro to go see the Foo Fighters. They were doing, like, a small show before doing Lollapalooza the next night.
Got it.
And he was, like, going to go out to dinner with them, and he invited me to dinner, but I was already going to Sade. It was, like, all mixed up. But I said, okay, I'll meet you there at midnight. And he said, you know, you're going to get to meet the band, and I didn't really care because I didn't listen to them, so I didn't know any of their music.
Yeah.
But I get to the show, and it's exactly how he said it would be. He slaps a wristband on me, takes me up to, like, I don't know, the second or third level at the top, and I'm looking down at the band, and I'm like, my mind is blown at how incredible they were. And I've been to Metro a million times, but it was so different. Like, all the energy was just coursing through my veins, and I was like, this is unbelievable. But I knew something had really changed because the music sounded so different to me.
Yeah.
And so, okay, the show ends. It's really late. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. And he said, let's let all these people clear out, and then we'll go backstage with the band. They're going to get pizza or something. So we're sitting there, and I see all this, like, red, purple kind of hair coming up the staircase. And I'm thinking, like, A, whose hair is that? And B, what are they doing here at 3 in the morning? And it turned out to be Wynonna Judd. So I guess she had the same manager as the Foo Fighters. That's why this is what I'm
this
telling
is,
you.
This
like
is
things
cra-
got really cool
this
and
is
weird.
Crazy. This is crazy. It, what a great story. Continue, was, please.
Okay, so basically, before my mom died, for years, 2 or 3 years, she was obsessed with Wynonna Judd being on the Oprah Winfrey Show and singing this Foreigner song, "I Want to Know What Love Is," and like. This was something all of my cousins, her friends, everybody knew that she had this obsession with this performance, and I'd like tease her about it, and it was just like a sting with my mom.
Yeah.
So before my mom died, I said to her, you have to like stay in touch with me. My mom was my best friend. I mean, like, I absolutely adored her.
Yeah.
And I said, you have to like give me a sign that you're okay, and like, please communicate with me, like, do it through music. And I just said it, but I didn't really know what I was saying. I just was like desperate at that point.
Yeah.
So when Wynonna Judd showed up at the Foo Fighters show, and I had just been offered a job with Oprah Winfrey, like, my brain could not comprehend what was happening.
Wow.
And then my brother's friend knew her. So next thing you know, we're all talking, and then we're like shuffling down the stairs, and we're backstage with the Foo Fighters and Wynonna Judd, and I'm like, am I on acid? But I wasn't. It was just my normal life. And then basically, I just was like, I can't remember exactly what I said to her, but I said something to her about my mom and the job, and then I went home that night, and I was like, I gotta take that job. So the guys in the band gave us like we could be on the stage at Lollapalooza on the side of the stage with them the next night. And it was raining that night, and I'm on stage with the Foo Fighters, and I'm looking out at like thousands of people, and it's pouring rain, and the skyline is behind them. And I was like, my whole life has changed. I'm taking that job. And by like Friday, I was sitting there talking to Oprah.
I got to tell you,
crazy.
That is, I loved that story, Valerie. Absolutely, absolutely loved it. Unbelievable. This is Valerie Genghis is with us. She is an author and an expert in transcendental meditation. ValerieGenghis.com, GANGAS. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200, talk or text if you have experience with meditation. That is a really crazy and awesome story about how you got into this. And so you took the job.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't kidding when I said things got super cool really fast.
Yeah. No, that's such a great story, and so random. Wynonna Judd showing up at a Foo Fighter show. That's just.
I know. I was like, what the hell is she doing here? And her husband, I think his name is Cactus, he was there. Like, I was like, wait, what? Like, my brain could not keep up with, like, the reality of what was happening. And then since then, I've seen her, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. She, like, took my book up on stage and talked about it. I mean, the whole thing is totally surreal.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Valerie Genghis is with us. Transcendental meditation is what we're talking about, and much more. Now, not only did you work with Oprah and work with her, you know, doing TM and things like that, but you also, speaking of bizarre and crazy stories, you also worked with David Lynch, who is one of my favorite filmmakers on the planet. First of all, what's he like, and what was the experience of working with him like?
Well, so I worked for the David Lynch Foundation. Okay. And they were the ones that were, like, overseeing the project of working at Harpo Studios.
Okay.
So I worked with Bobby Ross, which is, like, their main guy. He teaches, you know, a lot of the celebrities to meditate, and he was there with us. And I did end up meeting David Lynch at one of his events, but it's not like I was working with him every day.
Oh, okay, got it.
So, but he started this amazing foundation because he's super into TM, and he's been doing it for a really long time. And the foundation has just done amazing work. And I was lucky enough to, you know, work with them. But, I mean, again, I never thought about David Lynch. I didn't even know he had a foundation. I didn't know any of that. And then next thing you know, like, I'm in, and I'm in deep. Like, this is my new career. So it was kind of, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I bet. Okay. Valerie, we're going to continue talking to you. Valerie is with us, and we would love to talk to you. We're going to continue talking to Valerie. Valerie Genghis, author, expert in transcendental meditation. We'll talk about her book and meditation. If you have any experience in that or questions about it, it's 312-981-7200. The Nick DeGilio Show continues right here on a Thursday morning on WGN. It's the Nick DeGilio Show here on 720 WGN, continuing till 4 a.m. on this Thursday morning. Tom Hush is my producer. We're with you all morning long. It is a Thursday, which means it's Triple Play Thursday. We have a different theme every morning where you pick all the songs that we play coming back from breaks and news. And Triple Play Thursday means you pick one artist and three songs. We're in the middle of a Madonna Triple Play. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Valerie Genghis is with us. She is an author and an expert in transcendental meditation. And we've been talking to her about it. And if you would like to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. And Valerie, let's continue to talk. So after this experience, this life-changing experience, so meditation became it became a very important thing in your life, obviously.
Yeah, because now, I mean, not only did I have that extraordinary experience, then after I started working with the David Lynch Foundation, I felt like a strong pull to help others. You know, I was making a fraction of the money I used to make being in the restaurant business, but I didn't care about any of that. It was like my life had a bigger purpose than just, you know, making money and doing the things I normally would have been doing.
Yeah.
Everything had changed. So the idea that I got to go to work every day and help people, I was like, yeah, I'm all in.
And so what for you helping people out, what are some of the stories that were that affected other people? You said you were helping people out, you loved helping people out and getting into the world of TM. What are some of the success stories that you've heard from people who you've helped out and who have discovered TM?
I feel like there's a common theme. People's relationships get better. They can think more clearly. They can absorb more information. There's a general happiness that kind of bubbles up from them after they, you know, start meditating for a little while and their nervous system calms down. And people make big changes in their lives after they learn to meditate because you have a new perspective when all of a sudden you're really calm. You become more creative. That's why there's so many, you know, singers and actors and actresses that do TM because it brings out so much creativity in you. And so I was there to be talking to all these people and watching their lives change in front of my eyes. And I thought that was extraordinary. And to this day, I still do.
And so what do you say to people? Let's say, you know, there's some people who have excuses, or not just excuses, but reasons why they don't think they can meditate. What about the issue of people? Do people say that they're too busy? They can't take the time? And what do you say to those people who have like a pretty full, busy life?
I think that when you start meditating, you actually have more time because you're so efficient. That you get more done. It's like the noise is gone in your mind. So you can really focus on whatever task you have at hand. So actually, I always tell people, like, you're gonna have more time. I know that's like an abstract thought, and it's hard to like believe that unless you experience it.
Yeah.
But that has been my experience, and for a lot of people, I mean, there's people that are extremely busy, extremely successful, that do TM, and they swear that that's like the magic bullet for them that allows them to be even more successful and be able to handle a lot of moving parts.
It's fascinating stuff. By the way, a couple of texts have come in, Valerie, from our listeners. 815 says, "Great show, great subject. How does one set up TM in your own home? You can do it in your own home and at kind of at your leisure, right?"
Oh yeah, I've meditated, you know, in the back of cabs in New York City. I've meditated. I can meditate anywhere. It's very simple. You don't have to, you know, sit on a meditation pillow and have a chime going or incense. None of that. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, and you can do it anywhere.
I love that you said that was you. By the way, TM we're talking about is transcendental meditation. I love that the first example that you gave is that you did TM in the back of a cab in New York, which is I think a very appropriate place to try and meditate, I would imagine.
And you know what? I was like, kind of like, oh, I wonder if I can do this. And it had no effect on me at all that I was like sitting in traffic. Like all of that noise went away as soon as I started thinking my mantra. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And so now, you know, like I live my life. I'm constantly traveling and I'm in different places. And I have found that I can meditate pretty much anywhere.
That's really something. 630 area code also texts in. "I'm so excited to hear Valerie on your show. I think I was one. She was one of my public speaking students at Butler Junior High some years ago. Her story is amazing." Does that sound familiar?
Oh my God, who is that?
They didn't leave a name. What did you say her name was?
I said, "Is it Mrs. Bruni?"
She did not leave a name, but it says 630. It just says, "I'm so excited to hear Valerie on your show. I think she was one of my public speaking students at Butler Junior High some years ago. Her story is amazing."
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Oh man.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book, Enlightenment is Sexy. When did you write it and what was the inspiration for it? And tell us what the book is about and everything.
Okay, so I was working at Harpo for about 2 years, and then we ended up at Loyola Medical School and maybe like five or six other corporations in the city. And I started realizing, like, I'm pretty good with people, and I like this work. So I became a life coach, and I started working with clients. And then I wrote a blog. Let me back it up. That public speaking class at Butler Junior High, that was the only time I did any public speaking ever. And so my next public speaking gig was standing in front of Oprah one-on-one, well, with the president of her company, in a screening room. Like, all of a sudden, I was a public speaker.
Oh,
like,
man.
This gift came out of me, and it was like, wow, that's a weird place to start, you know? Like, that's going from, like, 0 to 100. So the same went for the writing. I wasn't a writer. I wrote papers in college and stuff, but I had never written anything for public consumption.
Right.
And I was asked to write a blog about dating. And the blog ended up in a best-selling book. And I thought, okay, this is a good sign. And so I started thinking, you know, I'm going to write a book. And the desire got stronger and stronger until I just made a decision to quit my job. I gave or sold everything I owned in my apartment. I got rid of, like, my purses and shoes and all that stuff, rented my condo, and moved to a little town in Iowa so I could just get rid of every distraction in my life and just sit down and write the book. And that's exactly what I did.
Wow. By the way, it is Mrs. Bruni.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hi, Mrs. Bruni. Thanks for texting in.
She did. She texted back into Tom and my producer, Tom Hush. And it is her. We're talking with Valerie Genghis, author and an expert in transcendental meditation. Tell us about what the book is, what the book is about and all that cool stuff.
So when I had the experience, when I learned to meditate, one of the first things I said to my teacher was, oh my God, everything I thought I knew was wrong. You know, it was like all of a sudden I was living in opposite land. And I realized that I had been raised not for any reason except that it's normal to constantly be looking outside of myself to, you know, work really hard and do well in school and, you know, just like push, push, push. And I wasn't really taught to go inward. And so everything like flipped in my life. And so I was looking at like every aspect of my life totally differently than I had been. And so I wanted to just write, you know, a guidebook. It's a guidebook for a magical life because I really felt like now I was living a magical life. So I basically took all these different topics and just put down my thoughts about how I now saw, you know, these different aspects of my life.
And yeah, and so how did the book go over? You said Oprah had it.
Well, I had not, at that point I had quit the David Lynch Foundation and I had moved to Iowa. So I separated myself from all of that and I decided to self-publish. I didn't want to wait for a publisher, which I'm glad I did that because I learned all about how to publish a book and now I have that information. And for a self-published book, it's done really well. It's opened a lot of doors for me. So it's pretty good. It's been pretty good.
So you're,
and now I'm on my second book, so something's happening.
Seven Signs of Transformation, which is also like a free ebook, correct?
Yep.
Tell me about that.
I got really interested in how other people have had the same type of experience that I had, and that's what led me into researching near-death experiences. That's one way people... If someone has a near-death experience, I mean, I would say 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, they come back a totally different person. Mm-hmm. They also have the experience of, oh my God, everything I thought I knew was wrong. Because they tap into knowledge that us as normal humans normally don't get access to. And they come back and they're transformed. So... that's one of my favorite ways people transform because it's so dramatic and it's so fascinating. So when you do have these types of experiences, your whole life does change. And unless you find other people that have also had this experience, it can be very confusing because you're so different. And a lot of people won't understand what you're talking about unless they have also gone through it. So I decided to write that ebook just to have on my site, you know, if someone is going through a process, an awakening process like this, that they have a little bit of a roadmap.
And, okay. And so, but the website, by the way, is ValerieGangas.com. That's G-A-N-G-A-S, ValerieGangas.com. They can find the Seven Sides of Transformation there. Well, we're going to continue talking with Valerie. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Valerie Gangas is here, expert in transcendental meditation, and we would love to hear from you. Either talk or text at 312-981-7200, and the show continues.
Strike the pose.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio, and it's the Nick DiGilio show. My producer is Tom Hush. We're keeping you company till 4 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the talk and text line, and we'd like to hear from you. And by the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Valerie Gangas is my guest right now. She is an author and an expert in transcendental meditation. She has a free ebook available on her website called Seven Sides of Transformation. She has a book also called Enlightenment is Sexy. She's a speaker and a life coach, and here talking about transcendental meditation and how it changed her life and how it can change your life. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Valerie, let's continue talking. We have someone who's on the line who wants to ask a question. Are you there, Valerie?
Oh, yep.
Okay. All right. So we have a listener who wants to ask a question. Ken?
Oh, okay.
Ken, go ahead.
Oh, hey. Hey, Nick.
Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. Hi, Valerie. Yeah, I'm curious
Hi.
About I'm curious about the method you're using to validate your NDEs, because every time I hear somebody talk about this psychic phenomena stuff, including NDEs, they say, I believe. Well, you know what? If you believe, you're lying. You don't believe. You know. You see, I know. I've had an NDE. I know. So basically my question is, what's up with all these people going around, I believe? You know, if you believe, you didn't have an NDE. If you had an NDE, you know. So that's basically my statement that I want you to react to.
Okay. All right, Val.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. If you haven't, okay, first of all, I have not had an NDE. I just study them because I'm fascinated by them. But
and by the way, that's near-death experience is what we're talking about. Near-death
experience. And the people that I've been that I have become close to that have had these experiences, I mean, they know, and they don't care what anyone else thinks because they saw it with their own two eyes. They lived their life review. They had a connection to God and, you know, family members that have passed away and all that. And I think the proof is in the pudding when you see how their lives have changed after the experience. That's like, watching that is actually the most fascinating part to me because they come back and they're totally different humans. They have more love in their heart. They want to help people. They're transformed. They're lighter and they know things. And so that's what I tend to look at. Like, what type of person are they post near-death experience? And I have seen a lot of, you know, wonderful people come out of a near-death experience. They're on this earth and they know what their purpose is and they want to help people.
Mm-hmm. Do you seek out, by the way, Ken, thank you for the call. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. So how do you encounter people who have had near-death experiences in order to talk to them and write about these experiences? Do you seek them out?
Yes. So basically what happened was when my mom died, part of the reason I was suicidal is because, I mean, I really lost it. So let's say that first, but I felt like I needed to kill myself to find my mom and like help her get to heaven. I mean, my mind had shattered. So I was having all these thoughts that like, I didn't know where my mom went and I was like scared for her and confused. So after I got better, after I started meditating, then I took a real deep dive into NDEs and I started watching tons of YouTube videos. I started interviewing people, reading books about it. And I realized that all this meditating that I'm doing, you know, going into this deep silence,
yeah,
it feels like I'm having tiny near-death experiences. Like I'm getting a glimpse into this other side, like that I normally would not experience. So that gave me an even greater connection to people that have had these experiences.
And so is there a common thread that you find among folks who've had near-death experiences?
Yeah. The common thread is a couple things. A lot of them are outside of their bodies. Let's say they're having surgery or, you know, they're in the ICU and they're watching themselves. They're watching the doctors working on them. They can come back and say, like, you were listening to this music. You had this conversation. They know everybody in the room. Like, they are watching themselves from outside of their body.
Mm.
So that's step one. And they don't feel freaked out by what's happening. It's like they recognize that, like, that's just a meat sack and it's laying on the table and that's not me.
Mm.
So it begins with that understanding. And then many of them see a white light that they walk into. Lots of people see family members that have passed away that are waiting for them. They tend to all describe it as coming home.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to come back. And a lot of them are given a choice, like, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And it's a really hard decision to make for them because they don't want to come back to this because they're finally free.
Yeah.
And lots of people, they have near-death experience. I mean, they have life reviews with their near-death experience, and so they see every aspect of their life from their birth to their death. And not only do they see it like a movie, but they're experiencing how other people in their lives felt in knowing them. Like if you help someone, you can feel like how grateful they are. It's like they get every side of the square in this life review. And then many people say that they have had direct experiences with God and that God sends them back with a new purpose in their life. And that's why they come back into their bodies. Mm.
That's fascinating stuff. Valerie Genghis is with us. She is an author and an expert in transcendental meditation and has written about near-death experiences as well. We have a listener here, Roosevelt. Go ahead, Roosevelt.
Yeah. How you guys doing today? This is a wild, wild conversation. You made me think of one person in particular in my life. I'm 63 years old. I was always into music, particularly rock and Santana, to be precise. Carlos Santana comes to mind. I remember when we were kids in the mid-70s, he went through a transformation also in music. He got very spiritual, just like what you said, Valerie, and his music completely changed. To this day, mm-hmm. I remember he used to always, during the concerts, he used to say, well, we got to be peaceful and meditation and spiritual. And Valerie, it's funny you mentioned the fact of religion, and he used to bring up religion, peace, to fellow man and this kind of stuff, and we thought he was nuts. And a lot of these people that, such as yourself, they have this thing of giving. Is it something that refocuses you, Valerie? Is it something that you say, well, from now on, I'm going to do more, like what you were mentioning. You know, I want to do more for other people. And other people that come to mind are Eva Longoria, Gwen Stefani, and one person in particular, too, is Ellen DeGeneres. She was, as a matter of fact, on Oprah. There's a video that I seen a while back where she says that if it wasn't for transcendental meditation, she would have never came out being gay. So my question is, again, is it something that refocuses you? In other words, is it something that you no longer are a person that say, well, I'm going to be selfish and this, and it changes your whole life in general?
Yeah. Well, I think we got that clear. If you can respond to that, Valerie.
Yeah. I mean, for me in particular, I felt like I was very clear why I was on this earth. I felt like my own life didn't matter that much. It was more like I was here to help other people, and that's what I was going to do for the rest of my days. And there was no question in my mind. It's just, that was it. And to have that level of clarity, I mean, I never had clarity like that before. I was always like, you know, what am I going to do? I guess I'll open a bunch of bars. And I mean, I was all over the place, and I had laser clarity after I learned to meditate. I mean, after a couple of weeks, I was like, okay, this is it. I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is. I know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge gift to receive.
Valerie Genghis is with us. She is an author and an expert in transcendental meditation. You can check out her website at valeriegenghis.com. And you can check out her free ebook. Thanks for the call, Roosevelt. And it's called Seven Signs of Transformation. What's next for you? What are you working on now, Valerie?
I'm working on my next book. And hopefully we'll be shopping my proposal around to publishers in the next couple of months. I'm starting a course called Stress Rehab. That'll be live in February, and my podcast is coming out. So there's a bunch of things happening, and all the information will always be on my website.
Okay, that's great. And as a life coach, what exactly, what's the process? What do you do as a life coach?
So I'm not a psychologist. I do have a master's degree in spiritual psychology, but I don't like see people in an office and, like, you know, work on their mental health. I don't do that. It's basically people come to me They want to make some big changes in their lives. Maybe they hate their job and they want to get out, or they want to get into a relationship, or they want to move. It's pretty clear what they want to do. They just don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
So I help them, you know, through a series of tools that I have, and just working with them week after week to help them actually achieve their goals.
Okay. All right. Well, Valerie Genghis is here, and it's ValerieGenghis.com. And people can just go to your website and see all this stuff. Can they contact you via your website?
Yeah, they can. Mm-hmm.
And how many clients do you have?
Right now I have about 10, and they're all women.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
I was just going to say, is there a reason why you only have women clients at this time?
I think it's because the Enlightenment is Sexy, it was geared towards women.
Oh, I see.
It's every woman's guide to a magical life. So I think people read the book and then they contact me, and I just happen to have more women contacting me than men.
And how do you, so are these people from all over the country?
All over the world.
All over the world. So you help people out from all over the world. That's great. Valerie, fascinating, and I have to tell you, that story that you told about how you took the job at Oprah, I can't even explain to you how much I love that story. It was so great and crazy.
It's seriously one of my favorite stories, because really that was like the beginning of it all.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of the magic just like pouring into my life, and it continued. It just was like, how is this happening? And yeah. The only thing I had changed was like incorporating some silence into my life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is great stuff and very inspiring. Valerie, thank you so much for joining us. We had a great time.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Valerie Genghis. Check out ValerieGenghis.com, GANGAS. You can get some meditation in your life, and hope maybe it'll change your entire life. So again, ValerieGenghis.com is the website. All right. We got the news coming up, and then we're going to talk about Rocky Johnson, wrestling legend. He passed away, father of Dwayne Johnson, and we're going to talk about wrestling. And if you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we're going to talk about great wrestlers and best wrestlers of all time, and give you this story about Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who just passed away. And that's coming up here on 720 WGN.